Season 4, Episode 30, The Decoded Podcast. Today is the first day of our spring break, which was supposed to happen in March, but didn't happen in March because of certain circumstances and the whole pandemic thing. But here we are in April, April the 10th, the first day of the break. And Chris, I was concerned. I was concerned that he, the Minister of Education, was going to do something to this April break. I know every time I say it, people, they look at me funny, and it's like, well, he did it. He changed it from March to April. He could very well change it again. And yes, there would be repercussions and stuff for making would that there, change.
Would there be, though?
Well, yes. Let me explain.
Please do.
Teachers are not paid for the March break. Mm. So at some point we would need to be reimbursed for 5 days of work where we weren't supposed to be working. So there is a financial repercussion if he chose to continue to delay it or to take it away. Somehow, some way, we would need to be compensated for those 5 days, whether it be school ends a week earlier in June, or they find the funds to pay all of us for five instructional days that were never supposed to be instructional days that aren't part of our salary. Those are repercussions. I think the parents are starting to become quite upset as well. Long story short, I just remember when the bell rang yesterday at 3:45. And there was no announcement from the minister or the premier. I was like, okay, it's arrived. The break is here. Mm-hmm. I can go home and rest without having to think about school. Now, the next big thing will be what they decide to do, you know, midweek. Like, if we're not going back after the April break for, I don't know, a certain amount of time so that we can learn from home, teach from home, that'll come midweek. And that'll piss me off because then that means I need to think about what my Monday is going to look like. Because I tell you right now, I'm not planned for virtual school for the Monday we come back. I am planned for face-to-face learning as I am every day. I always plan for the next day so that I'm ready to go. But have I considered my virtual plans? The answer is no. Mm-hmm. And as we continue to pivot and I continue to lose part of who I am and the energy I have, I suspect that if we did pivot, Monday would look a lot different than the last Monday that we pivoted, which would look a lot different than the last Monday that we had pivoted. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm slowly losing my patience for the disrespectful announcements where everybody says, well, you're not at work, so you don't need to work. And I'm like, yeah, I don't need to work, but I do have a class on Monday morning. And my day book isn't going to help me with my online class. So I need to have something ready, which means I need to take time out of my break. So having said all that, I'm happy that we're here. Mm-hmm. We're at the break. It sure feels like a break. Like, I'm tired. And I think I told you in one of our communications back and forth, Thursday evening, I felt like I was hit by a truck. I was so tired. I have no idea. I have no idea how I got that tired. I will tell you, though, I went to bed Wednesday night at a reasonable time. I woke up in the middle of the night. So early Thursday morning, I woke up wide awake. And I was like, oh, this is not good. There's still many hours laying here in the dark before the day begins for me. So I started reading. I was reading. I read for about an hour, and then I put the reading down, and I closed my eyes, and I fell asleep, and then woke up. I slept in a little bit, woke up, and then got ready for the day. And then I came home from work, and I was just gassed. Like, I said to the family, I'm like, listen, I will help make dinner. I will help do the dishes like we always do. And then I'm just going to go lie down. I don't want to be bothered. Like there's no, you don't need me for anything. Mm-hmm. And I fell asleep on the couch and it was a good 20 to 25 minute nap. And then when I opened my eyes, I spent the next 20 minutes fighting to keep my eyes open because my body just said, you're going back to sleep. And then I got up after fighting with myself for 20 minutes. And you know, that lost feeling, you're like in a haze. So then I continued on for the next hour and a half in the house doing whatever. And then I put my son to bed and then I went directly to bed. Mm-hmm. Slept all night, woke up and Friday was there in front of me and got it done. But that Thursday, even my wife was like, uh-oh, like, are you getting sick? I'm like, no, I don't feel sick. I just, my body just says you're done for today. You need to go to bed.
I've had those once in a while. Yeah, where I go and I don't come back. It's just, it's the whole, you're out. I get that. I haven't had one of those in a while though.
I feel like I've done a disservice to you by not checking in on you and your PQP. There is something about this AQ course you're taking that is completely not on my radar. And sometimes you'll mention, hey, I was doing a PQP assignment. And I'm like, oh, yeah, the guy's taking PQP. Chris, two questions. Is it almost over? And how are you doing?
So halfway. At the end of this week, it's halfway.
Okay.
Some interesting moments in it. I'm not enjoying it as much as I did the first one.
Okay.
I think there's something about the extended time on this. It's just, it's a lot longer. I think I really enjoyed doing it as an intensive. That was cool. That was last July, kind of framed around July. So this one, with it being so much longer, I find the timelines and the PQP, the way that the content is organized, is it's not as if there's no, okay, here's the challenge. You're talking about things that are about, you know, leadership elements, system, school, classroom, community. You're sort of flowing back and forth through all these spaces. And I think what I really liked about the intensive course is that I felt like, so the classroom in itself is a bit of a mirage because you're talking about a whole bunch of stuff and you get convinced that you're kind of figuring stuff out and you're proposing, you know, how to do budgeting and you're proposing how to deal with bullying and you're proposing how to do staffing, but it's not real, right? Like it's not real. We're guessing about best case scenarios and we're doing presentations to each other and book clubs, but it's a little bit like, I think back to when I was interviewing for the restaurant and I would ask someone, tell me about their experience with pasta. They said, oh yeah, I can make pasta. And then they would tell me a sauce they could make. What I wanted to hear is that they knew how to make the dough. Like that's what I was looking for. So that's a little bit like what the AQ is. Everyone's talking about the sauces, but we have no ground. We have no experience at actually making the dough. We don't know what that feels like. We don't necessarily know how to assemble the ingredients. It's kind of we're good with the garnish. We can kind of figure the garnish. And I think that because this course is so long, I'm starting to get tired of the garnish. Like I'm starting to get tired of talking about these and really it's concrete because we're using the information, but it's not concrete because we don't get a chance to ground it in experience. So it's not like when we're talking about resource allocation and budgeting, it's not like then we can go back to the school and give that some deep thought and think, okay, let's try this. Let's see if this proposal actually works. Mm-hmm. So there's a bit of a long game kind of mentality playing out here is that if and when I find with the PQP1, it felt closer grounded to the work I was doing in the school already. The PQP2, and maybe this is intentional, feels like it's too far off. And the second part to that is that it feels slightly ineffective, only in so much as I feel like I have to action some of the stuff from PQP1 in a PQP position before I can start to really dig into the implications of what we're learning in PQP2. So I feel like, and I'm usually pretty good in the abstract. I'm really good in the abstract, but I feel in some ways that this is maybe too abstract for me. Like it's too out there. I get the content. I like who we're meeting. I like who we're talking to. All that stuff is fine. But I feel like it's too diffuse for me. Like it's too diffuse for me. Made a couple really good connections in the course. People that I know, I know for sure I want to keep tabs with and, you know, talk to again somewhere down the road. So that's kind of cool. It's good to know that there's those kind of interesting people in there that you want to stay connected with, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a weird kind of distancing thing going on, dude, that I'm having trouble keeping the eye on the ball. So, but thanks for asking. I don't know if you felt, if you can you remember back? Was that, do you have any sense of that when you took it?
You know, when I took it, when I took part one, I was so pumped and so into it, so laser focused that I couldn't get to the sessions fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was just so like ready to go. And now with the second one, I was pumped for a different reason, right? The second one was such an ideal situation for me. The instructor, the people that I was in the course with, like it felt real. It's hard to explain. Like it was like the second one, I was with a ton of people that I had known for years.
Mm.
We were just sitting down for formal coursework at this point. Like we had the informal connections and we had like the knowing a little bit about each of us and kind of have run in the same circles for years. And then it was like, oh, we're going to sit down every Thursday night and we're going to take a course together with an amazing instructor. Like, so that was a dream. That was a dream for me. So the first one, I knew two people in the course and I didn't know that I was going to be with them until I got there. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. And I made new friends and like I was like a rabid dog. Unleash me and just let me go every mm-hmm. Saturday and Sunday. And then the second one was a more intellectual rabid dog where it's like, yeah, man, I'm going to get to sit with an instructor I know and trust and learn from him formally. I'm going to be surrounded by teachers that I've worked with or have gotten to know over the years in different capacities. And there were some administrators in the room. There were some vice principals in the room who are getting their number two so that they can move on into like getting a principalship at some point. Mm-hmm. And it was like, even if I didn't know you, I got to know you there. I knew you by name. And now I was going to actually get to know you, the real whoever you are. And they felt the same about me from what I could tell and what I could remember. And it was a great time because socially it was non-threatening and academically it was non-threatening. The only threat was breaking your mold, whatever your mold is or whatever mm-hmm. Insecurities you have about who you are as a teacher, learner, whatever you want to call it. Those are the only things you are going to break that you didn't have to worry about. I didn't have to worry about the rest of it. The social component, the academic component. I knew that I would pass the course. I was very interested in the coursework, the material. Mm-hmm. I was interested in the people. You know, for me, the biggest risk I took was when it was time to choose a seminar topic. I think I may have mentioned this on the podcast. There was like, you know, like our instructor had like the top 12 topics that people usually do their seminar on. And it's all the spec ed, teacher performance appraisal, health and safety, IEPs, like parent engagement, parent counsel, budgeting, that type of stuff. The bread and butter of the job.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, there's nothing on there about being a digital leader. You know, there's nothing there about, okay, so we're face to face, that's our job, but what happens if we're not face to face? Which is very interesting, right? That we end up, we end up, the pandemic hits and everybody was virtual for a time period. It's like, well, how do you lead then? And I don't just mean how do you lead like with your staff, but how do you lead? Like, nobody's standing in front of you anymore.
Dude, you're ahead of the curve.
Well, yeah, I'd like to think so, right? But it's like, do you have a social media presence? Does your school have a social media presence? Does your school have a digital presence? Because I found that when we all shifted, we were begging parents to pay attention to the digital because there was no more face-to-face.
None of the community capacity was built there, though.
For some there was, for some there is. But for others, there were not.
Well, I think, so here's the thing for you. When you were promoting that, so you go back to, and, you know, listeners, you may be amazed at this fact. Like, how far back was that?
2016.
So we're going back like 7 years, 6, 7 years. And part of it is that you couldn't have repped that if you are already rocking it, right? That's the key. That's the key to remember here. You're already rocking these digital connections. At the time, were you thinking about it with an equity lens?
No.
That's pretty remarkable now, eh? Like how different, you know, how different, but what a good seed point your approach would have been, but how different it would be if you were also taking into account the equity element.
And that, oh my goodness, like that's a whole new seminar, right?
Mm-hmm.
My presentation through an equity lens is an entirely new thing. Now, mind you, I will tell you, I will defend some of my seminar.
And defend. You have 1 minute.
I'm like in the elevator. Yeah, elevator pitch. You know, there was talk about, listen, a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people do have digital tools like mobile devices. They do. In fact, I will say some people who maybe don't have the financial means to live at a particular level, I've still seen those people purchase the mobile devices, even though it wouldn't make sense for them to have it because of their living conditions. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of assumptions I'm making here, but I think you're getting my drift that you meet people and you wonder, oh, like you're constantly concerned about survival, but you pay that cell phone bill because if you don't, you're going to have a problem. So there are a lot of people living in the digital world and maybe have more difficulty with the face-to-face stuff in terms of equity. But, you know, I was arguing at the time that, listen, we have face-to-face. People are walking in the buildings every day. But some parents, they don't want to talk to you on the phone. Some parents don't look in their child's school bag for the newsletter, the paper newsletter. So you have to find a way to connect with these parents differently, right? Mm-hmm. Social media is one way. The whole digital email texting space is another way. You know, when we had the Remind app here in Canada, I think there's some issues with it now. Now you're charged for the number of texts you send out using that app. But when we had that, I was using it with my class, you know, there's no reason why a leader couldn't have used it with their school community. Imagine your principal sends out a message and it comes to your phone as a text. You're more likely to read the text than you are an email. And so we're differentiating again, we're layering it again. So anyway, my argument was because there was no pandemic and there was no foreseeable, like we didn't know that was coming. And it was like, listen, people, you're running a building, you're leading a staff, you're leading a community face-to-face. But you should also be, in my opinion, harnessing and leveraging the digital world, especially as an administrator, to model for your staff, to model for your students, to model for your parents, to show the risks that you're taking on your own, right? Like, there's so many good things happening there, but also you're preparing yourself for the new world that we live in. And that was my main argument, is that we don't live in the 90s or the 80s anymore. We live in the 2000s. and these devices are everywhere. These mobile devices, the internet is everywhere. How are you harnessing that? How are you leading there in that space? And that was like the biggest risk I took in that course. But again, was it daunting? Like, was it like a risk where every night I was losing sleep? No, it was a risk where I was looking forward to the learning, where I was like, this feels scary, but I really like it. Not the, this feels scary and I need to remember that, of course it does, and all that stuff. This was like, no, no, strap me in. Strap me in and hit the fire button and let me go. What will happen to me? Will I be hurt? Will the machine stop working that I'm sitting in as I'm flying down this tube or roller coaster? I don't know and I don't care. I'm in. I'm looking for the fear and the thrill, so bring it on. That was my PQP part two. And have I had a course like that ever since then or before then? No. That was the course of courses for me. That course was like just the perfect storm. The perfect
course storm. Of courses.
Can I?
That's powerful.
Maybe that'll be the title of, I'm writing that down, the course of courses. Everything was perfect, bro. My wife said, go for it. I had the money. And we're talking $1,000, right? Yep. So that's nothing to joke about. The course of courses. So yeah, my wife was like, go for it. I had the money. I put in the time. I was with the people. Now I will tell you though, now that I think about it a little bit more, there was a little bit of pressure in that I didn't want to disappoint the course instructor. I didn't want to disappoint my colleagues. Like, I didn't want to show up for a group assignment or something and not have done my part. So there was that, right? That's easier to let go of sometimes for some people when you're not working with people you know. Like when I was doing my ESL course and I had to do group work, you know, I was annoyed. I was like, I don't know these three people. And one of them doesn't seem to care at all. Like, there's always one of them did everything last minute. One of them was like, okay, who's doing what every 5 minutes? I was like, this is what I'm doing. This is the day I'll have it done for all of you to review. That's kind of where I'm at. And it was just funny because, again, group work, right? And I remember saying to the instructor, I don't know how you're going to mark us, but if you're going to mark us on a collective, I have a real issue because this is what I put in. And it appears as though one person's not doing anything. So, I was like, you know, I was sensitive to I don't know their life. I don't know how they're living. It does not say in the course anywhere that you must do this, this, and this before this day. It just says, hand in your stuff on this date and I'll mark it. You know, make sure you discuss this thing twice. I was in there every day talking, right? And then this person walks in, does the minimum discussion points, hands in their part, you know, an hour before midnight on the day due kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Those are the requirements. So you can't argue with that, but there was the stress, a little bit of stress of just making sure I stepped up and I did my part. And I would say that the people that I generally sat with and talked to in the PQP course, they felt the same. You know, they didn't want to let their teammates down. They didn't want to let the instructor down. Everybody was there to just work hard and learn. Mm-hmm. And it was collegial. It was the course of courses.
Yeah, that's not my experience.
You've not...
But you know what? That's okay. I'm not the thing that I am, maybe it's this school year because I'm connecting and acting and working a lot. The PQP is not the centerpiece of my learning. It's not a showcase for my learning. So it's not like last summer in July. That's all I really had to do. That's all I had to do. I was working on the PQP. I didn't, right now I've got you know, my day job. And then I've got the slices, like there's the day job, and then there's how the day job is broken down. And depending on if I'm teaching or resourcing or any of the other sort of community connections that I'm working on, the PQP is kind of in amongst all that stuff. In addition to husbanding and dadding and friending, all the other stuff. So maybe that's the other part too. Maybe this is a better version of PQP for me, because I'm not feeling as if it's everything in my world. It's just one of the things. I think maybe the diffusion could also be, there's a diffusion because it's a lot loftier. There aren't things directly that I can go back to school the next day and action. Like, it doesn't have that PD feel. You know, you go to a good PD session, you're like, I can go back into my classroom and do this right now. Because the stuff we're talking about, you have to have the job. That's really what it is. You have to have the job to really start taking it to an action level. I can continue talking about it with, I guess, my colleagues, but I don't feel the motivation to do so. Not yet. I think these are notes that I'll return to when I start to think about what the next step is. So, and I know the next step, even as far as the qualification goes, I still have to do my practicum. I haven't started that yet. So my practicum comes after this. So I'll be doing that likely in September. So maybe this time this year, I'll feel differently. I'll be thinking to myself, because basically I decided to do both courses and then the practicum when I'm done, instead of putting it between the two. So this time next year, I might feel more purposeful and be able to look back on how... I got to go a different route in this. Here's what I do like about taking the PQP course right now, that I didn't have a full appreciation of when I took the PQP1. And I'll start with just a moment that happened in the PQP1. So in the PQP1, we had a superintendent from, I don't know, maybe HR from one of the boards talking to us. And one of the first things that the superintendent said when they came into the virtual meeting, this was all online too. I did it all online. It was the first session that OPC was running, like in COVID times, early COVID times, full digital course. So superintendent rolls in and says, it's so fantastic to see all of you aspirational learners, hoping that, you know, you'll become a leader. I'm sure all of you are very eager to become an administrator. And, you know, quite a few individuals in the group were like, woohoo. They're like, you know, let's go. They were ready to roll. And I was not that person. I wasn't feeling it that way. But I was aware of, it was easier to feel that way because none of us were working. We weren't dealing with the day-to-day. We had just been released from it. It was post-June, you know, for better, for worse. Most of us had closed our school years. So we were taking this course in a space that was unencumbered by our daily lives. Now, some people were still kind of working. They were still doing some stuff. There was people that were working with their P's on different jobs. Like, the people were still doing stuff. But it was after June 30th. Like, we were into July. The gift that this PQP is the reminder that the job isn't everything. Because this PQP2 is squished in with being with my family, me doing art, me hanging with you, me talking to my mom, having to go buy groceries, having to watch a little bit of Netflix, my own wellness challenges. Oh yeah, and being a teacher and doing some leadership in the school and doing committee work and getting the yard ready for spring, you know, and thinking about, do I have to get the driveway repaved? This PQP, I think, it's well placed because it reminds me that PQP isn't everything. No matter what you're paying, no matter, you know, what the amount of time you have to spend on the assignments. And it has given me a little bit more of a wizened kind of perspective on it. It also has completely demystified it in a lot of ways. And you and I were talking back and forth this week about projections. There's nothing glamorous about taking this course. It really fundamentally does come down to two things, time and money. Well, okay, three. Do you have the quals to actually take it? That's, you have to have certain qualifications. But even those in a lot of ways are time and money bound too, because you're paying to take a course and you have to have X number of years before they'll let you take a course. So it's still time and money. So there's no mystery around the process to taking these courses. And there's less and less mystery because of the equity work that's happening, at least in my board and the board that I'm taking this through. I'm taking it through TDSB to demystify that process and make it quite transparent and concrete. Here's what's expected. Here's our conversation. What do you have to offer? What have you offered? What impact has it had? How do you know it's had an impact? Fairly straightforward in how you sort of approach this. And I like that. I think the PQP2 has made very sort of concrete the path to move forward if I choose to pursue, you know, the interview and the process. I think it's also made pretty concrete the impact of some of the work that I've done so far. I think it's also given me really concrete indicators as to how I have to go back and look at some of my experiences and see them with different lenses, whether it's through OLF or it's my board's leadership strategy. It's reminded me that I really don't know the board's plan for improvement or the school's plan for improvement as deeply as I should. So there's been cool, concrete reminders. But again, all of these are happening while I'm also thinking to myself, crap, do we have enough milk? And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's what these courses need to be. Maybe that's the necessity in the diffusion. I don't know if it is, but maybe that's the necessity in this, is that it's got to be, it's got to exist with what real life is. And we were talking, you know, I think in the on-ramp, I'm not prepared to give up my life to become a formal leader in the system. I won't do it. Not for me, I won't do it. And I think that's also why back in the PQP1, when the person, you know, rolled into our Google Meet and in such a big, joyful manner said, you know, bet you all can't wait to be a vice principal. I did guffaw. My mic wasn't open yet. I was like, oh, I'm like, really? We don't even know what September is going to be like. Like, really? Anyone in this room thinks they know what it means to be a leader in September? Come on. Come on. We're not there yet. There's no way. We just finished 3.5-4 months of accepting the fact that school is going to be changed forever. You know how to be a leader in September? Okay. All right. And I'm looking around at my colleagues. I'm like, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know. I'm like, there's no way. And there's individuals that are saying, yeah, can't wait to be an administrator. I'm not about to make my process of sort of my process of learning how to become a leader about that destination point and having the chair. I'm too old to sort of see it that way. And I want to make sure I have the tools, the wisdom, the connections, and the compassion, self-compassion too, to know what the rules of engagement are going to be able to push back and say, no, I'm not going to give up my life here. I'm not. I'm going to give you everything that my professional toolkit has to offer. But I'm not going to give you all of me. I won't. That's my rant.
I appreciate your position.
Excuse me.
And I think you know that I'm rolling along the same lines.
Mm-hmm. I've actually learned this from you.
Oh, that's nice that you were able to learn something from me.
Mm-hmm. No, I think I've learned this perspective from you because you keep my thinking grounded in a lot of ways as far as when you talk about the mysteries of the leadership and how asking direct questions sometimes aren't met with direct responses. Or it becomes party line responses. So, and I think we can all see the party line responses. Yes, I get it. I'm going to have to carry my phone with me everywhere. Yes, I get it. When that phone rings, I'm going to have to answer. But tell me, how does that affect your well-being? Tell me, how does that affect your family? Tell me, how do you know that it's affecting your family? Like, that's the kind of behind the curtain stuff, right? And I don't need marketing to sort of convince me of anything. I just need the information so that when I decide, I see it clearly. And that's how my PQP is going.
The course of courses.
Yeah, the course of course. It's the course of course.
So you, okay, you lit me up when you said last summer. So in your whole talk about your PQP and stuff, you started, or you said something about last summer. Mm-hmm. And all I could think of, now I was listening to you, but all I could think of was getting.
Don't say Kawartha.
I wasn't going to say it.
Okay. I thought for sure.
You just dropped it though, but I wasn't going to say it. So what I was going to say was, it brought back my visit to your neck of the woods where we went out and we got some foods, socially distant. We were socially distant. We got some foods. And it brings me to today, and I'm very annoyed with this stay-at-home lockdown thing. And I'll tell you why. I think I've been really good at following the premier's instructions. I think I've been pretty good at doing my part on limiting the spread of COVID. I got an email the other day from my buddy, who's a vice principal in the system, and he's also a bit of a filmmaker like I am. I can't believe I use that word, filmmaker. We like to shoot video, and we like to edit and put them together into fun things. And last summer...
Oh, a filmmaker.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
accept it.
So last summer we did this thing, A Tale of Two Teachers, where we'd shoot some footage and then we'd create a video out of it and then share it with each other. And sometimes we'd shoot footage and exchange the footage and then use it to create videos from them, which is really cool because you don't know what you're going to get, right? So the other day he says to me, I emailed him and I shared some new videos I had made and said, check these out. He responded and said, hey, what are you doing Saturday? Let's meet up in this really cool part of Kitchener. We'll shoot some video and then we'll put something together. And I was like, that sounds cool. And then the other day I emailed him and I said, hey, with this stay-at-home thing, like, it's probably not a good idea that we meet up and just be roaming the streets shooting video. And he wrote back to me yesterday and he said, yeah, you're right. You know, I guess it wouldn't be right for the two of us to meet up and just, you know, walk a trail or two and shoot some video. Now, part of that upsets me because I'm still going to be going for walks and stuff while this whole stay-at-home thing's happening. I'm not going to stop going out and getting exercise. I don't plan on sitting on a patio with 50 of my closest friends. I just want to walk and get some exercise, right? And then I think, well, what's the difference? Like, if I'm walking with one other person... Here, and maybe this is the problem. Maybe this is what people are saying. Why can't I do this? Or I don't think it's an issue for me to go walk in with a buddy with our cameras and capturing footage while we're walking on a trail. Mm-hmm. As long as we're socially distant, you know, wearing masks, whatever. But I guess Dougie doesn't want people together. And I get that. But I'm a little annoyed because now it's my break and now I can actually go out in the middle of the day for a walk. And I can't really do it with people. I mean, if I want to, I will. I'll go with a friend. I'll meet up a friend. We'll walk and talk. I think that's different than sitting on a patio having dinner. or meeting up with my friends in their backyard for a beverage, but that's just me. So as soon as you said last summer, I was like, oh man, remember that? And we were locked down, were we not? Because I remember, like, my family was at a cottage with just my family. And then when I met up with you, we were just driving from place to place, getting something to eat, chatting. Mm-hmm.
Outdoors.
We were outdoors the whole time.
Yep. Outdoor spaced. Yeah, it was, well, we followed the rules. We did the rules that needed to be followed in order to do it safely. So
what will come this summer?
We'll see in 4 weeks ish. So go ahead.
No, I was just going to talk about how this is affecting my kids and their extracurricular activities and stuff.
Do it.
Well, I mean, like, my youngest had some stuff arranged for this month that all got canceled. And then we've got some stuff lined up over the next 2 months. So we're hoping that at the end of these 4 weeks that we can stop with this gray zone thing and go back to a red, where he can participate in these activities that we have planned for him to maintain, you know, physical fitness, mental health, get him out of the house. That's all I was going to say. Like, it's like, it just, this thing keeps dragging on. I was talking to some of my dad friends saying, hey, I'm going to register my son for this and this in the summer. They're like, really? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to wait. I'm just going to register. If it gets canceled, somebody will give me my money back. But if I don't register and it runs and I didn't sign up my kid and it's full because it's only, you know, 10 kids allowed or whatever, then I'm going to be sad. I'm going to be upset with myself. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah, we're, I'm looking to sign up, actually with Roy and Lee. Him and his, I think it's primarily his daughter, mm-hmm. that's running it, but a skateboard camp. So that's outdoor. And, I think Maddie and I are going to sign up for that, which would be cool. But yeah, we're sort of playing it loose. We're not making any commitments. There's anything right now that my son is digging to do. My wife hasn't said much about what she wants to kind of do yet. So we're in the in-between right now. We have, we've signed up to get our, we're trying to sign up to get our COVID stuff for next week. So that's the vaccinations. We're watching, we have our letters because both of us work, close quarters in special education spaces. So the community classrooms, and they've made that as an exception. So educators that are in these community classroom spaces. So we'll see if that plays out. We're still waiting on the exact details for next week. So, cause that's supposed to open up next week. So that's kind of looking forward to that. And you know, depending on the timeline of that, you start to think about summer, because then you start to feel like you're a little bit safer, I guess, kind of being out and about, right? Mm-hmm.
Have I mentioned lately that I'm obese?
I would have argued it before COVID, but according to COVID things, I'll have to agree. Sorry, bud. I am too. Like, I am too, probably. I am too. Yeah.
My shot's tomorrow. I'm supposed to be getting my shot tomorrow.
All right. Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited in a way. Kind of excited. A little scared. I don't like needles, generally speaking.
Oh, no, eh?
No, I don't like getting stabbed with a needle. But no. I've done it before. I can do it again.
Man, I'm okay with needles. They don't bother me. So.
What kind of artwork did you put together today, Christopher?
I don't know. Uh-oh. I don't know.
it's you with a beard with your head open. Wide open? Open to anything?
I don't know.
Is that silver Sharpie?
Yeah.
It's like young Santa.
Young Santa. Here we go into the break. Did anyone check in? We have any listeners?
We had one or two people pop in here and there.
That's okay.
I think we bored them to death.
Could be. Could be. They're like, oh, they're talking about leadership and PQP again.
Yeah, again. Like, we got nothing else to talk about.
The last thing I'll say on that is that, so tomorrow's a turnaround day, and because Sunday is like the last day of the unit for this, the module. PQP. So it is one of those, I got homework. Damn it. I have homework.
That sucks, bro. I feel for you.
Don't say that.
Don't say what? That I feel for you? That
yeah,
it sucks.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't feel for me. Don't feel for me. This is a choice. You're better off to say, Clef, just get it done. Get it done, dude. Get it done. Don't complain about what you have to get done. Just get it done and complain about the time that you had to spend. Because I haven't spent the time, right? If I spent the time and I still wasn't successful, feel for me. It's like, oh, man, Clef, like, how did it turn out like that? But I'm just complaining about something I haven't even started yet. So you're just reinforcing my laziness. You know, I'm gonna put this out into the universe. In just over 2 hours, just under 2 hours, I'm gonna try to connect with the next Rad Rupa book club. I'm going to try. It's kind of cool, kind of interesting, great group, fascinating Twitterer, very interesting human, Rad Rupa. Yeah. So I'm setting it out in the universe because they're, I guess at noon sharp, you have to sort of watch for the book that's going to be announced and the sign up or whatever.
What do you have to do? She puts out a link and you have to fill out the form. And then if you're one of the first come first serve people, then you're good.
IDK. I don't know. I just know she's going to post something up at noon with the instructions. It's gonna be like waterfall. You know, that waterfall. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Water. Did you do that? The waterfall activity where kids all post their answers at the same time into the chat. Supposed to diffuse anxiety, and it's kind of a fun thing to watch the chat get. No,
I'm a mean teacher. I turn the chat off.
Yeah, I haven't actually done it either, but I've heard that some instructors like to do that one. 3, 2, 1. Here, you and I can do it. 3, 2, 1. Waterfall. There's only two answers in the chat. It's just you and me.
What's the question?
There wasn't. It's just I'm just pointing out.
I'm that guy. I'm like, what's the question?
What's the question? So where's Kevin? Where's Kevin?
Well, good luck. I hope that works out for you.
The two books they look really cool. I think one is called They Were Her Property. That might not be, but about white female slave owners. And yeah, that's you're like, I'm reading it on Goodreads. I'm like, yeah, that's a topic I have never thought, but you know what I mean? It's not the perspective of slave ownership and racism and privilege that I've sort of experienced so far. So that's really powerful, fascinating, and equally horrific. it's grabbed my brain. Another one is Conflict Is Not Abuse. And that one, I think that one has to do with how, I think it's white power, how white power pivots in order to kind of protect itself. And I think, uses tools, some tools of diffusion to sort of keep dissonance down. I could be misquoting that. I read it earlier in the week, and it's buried under other bits of life. But yeah, those are the two. Those were two possibilities. So it's like there's a Ticketmaster element to this, eh?
I remember those days.
You remember those days. And I have if Rupine, I should have been listening, but that whole Ticketmaster thing where you know that or the other part, here's the parental style, trying to get your kids into local camps and swim lessons when the website's open at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. sharp is when you want to sign up for swim lessons. And you know, parents across GTA or Waterloo region are waiting for those websites to open, not 5:59, not 6:01, because by 6:01 the queue's full, you're not getting in. You got to try to log into your account. Oh, did we tell you have to have an account first? You have to have an account first, right? Like, oh, I'm losing seconds. Where's my email address? What level of swimming lessons are my kids supposed to be in? So this will be the 12 noon thing here. And go figure, even after me talking about all this, I'll probably be buried doing something. I'll be like, oh, 12:01. And I'll know that I'm pooched. Or I'll notice it at 11:59. I'm like, not yet, Clough, not yet. Patience.
Not yet, Clough, not yet. And yeah. You sent me the tweet, and it says that if anybody emails her, you're disqualified.
What I like about that, what I really dig about that, and she lays it flat out, she says, please respect these boundaries. She's controlling the game board, and that's absolutely fine. This is her offering to her PLN. So yeah, there's no jump in the queue here. Well, there is. Go ahead. Let's see what happens to you.
Right.
So,
well, I wish you well if you decide to pursue it.
I'm going to do my best. I'll do my best. It's hard to tell. I'll let you know though if I'm successful. I think I'm interested in reading both books regardless. Mm-hmm. I think I'm also interested in reading along with that crew. I was watching, I got deep respect for peeps that were a part of the first one. Some of the people that are sort of chatting. I was like, yeah, I would, if some of those people or other people are in the same mindset as far as pursuing learning and connection and, you know, professional connection, I'm down with that. So cool stuff.
Okay. Well,
happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. Happy first day of the break.
Yes. Yes. Happy first day of the break. I'm sure I'll be chatting with you soon, dude.
For sure. Okay.
Oh, what is it going to? Nah, it's gone. It's okay. It was there and gone. There and gone.
Okay. Well, that was season 4, episode 30.
Yep. Good stuff. Take care, bro.
Yeah, you too. See ya.